Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from guest speaker Michelle McKinney-Hammond.
Well, you know, part of youthful exuberance is wanting instant gratification. Don't we want everything now? I mean, I'm upset when my Wi-Fi isn't working fast enough. I'm trying to make that post happen, you know? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about. But God is a God of process, and He takes us through things, and sometimes He doesn't answer when we want Him to. This is an opportunity for us to be bitter or get better. Amen? But you got to believe that it's going to get better. Why? Because all things work to the good, correct? Now, I have this girlfriend named Pamela. Pamela called me one day and she said, "Girl, I need you to pray." I said, "What is it?" She said, "Child, I've spent all the money that I had on stuff that, you know, I was hoping my bonus would come, and they're taking a long time to pay, and I need you to pray that they'll release my money so I can pay for the things that I've purchased." I said, "Well, now God might be trying to teach you not to spend money you don't have, but I'm going to pray for you anyway." I said, "But you know how God is. He's a brother. You know, He shows up at the last minute." She said, "Girl, I need him to be white today, because you know white folks show up early." You know, they're early. When you say 6, they're there at 5:45. But do you know that God can love you and let you suffer? Sometimes the delays are His love for you. He allows things to get worse. But why? That's what I want to know. What is going on when God takes too long? Let's take a look at one of my favorite stories that encapsulates this very well, found in John 11. It says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." It was this Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair when her brother Lazarus was ill. And as you also know, that was the busy sister Martha who was evil because Mary wouldn't help in the kitchen. And the Lord had to tell her, "Martha, you are troubled by many things, and that's why you are anxious." We stretch ourselves thin and then we feel the gap. Right? And we get anxious. And God is saying, calm down. Mary has chosen the better thing. She's chosen to absorb every word from my heart so that she can store it for those times to come when I won't be present. She has chosen to invest in the things that cannot be taken away from her. But that's the background. So it says, "So the sisters sent to him saying, 'Lord, he whom you loves is ill.'" Now, see, she qualified. This ain't just any old Lazarus. This is the one that you like. Because, you know, if he really loves us, he should come immediately, shouldn't he? "But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'Oh, this illness will not lead to death.'" Another translation says that he said, "It's not critical." "Oh, yes, it is, Lord. When my rent is due and I don't see the money, it's critical to me." Yeah? "When my heart has been broken unjustly, it's critical to me." There are many examples of things that are critical to us that God calls not critical. And so he said, it's not critical. This is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, the glory of God is the power and the presence of God at work or on display, right? And so he was literally saying this situation is actually a setup to demonstrate the sovereignty of my ways and to prove to you that I'm always in control. You see, timing is critical to God. It says that now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So the Bible wants to confirm that it was not their imagination that he loved them so much. God chooses to state again, yes, he truly did love them. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed away 2 days longer in the same place. Now that's kind of a strange statement. Jesus loved him, so he stayed away. Do you know sometimes that Jesus loves you so much, he stays away? Isn't that comforting? Then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. And they were like, why? You know, they were trying to kill us the last time we were there. Really? You want to go back there? And he goes, he's not worried by any of that. Aren't there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light. You see, when your steps are ordered of the Lord and you're in his perfect timing, nothing can befall you. Amen. So he says, let's go. He says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. There he is again, calling dead people asleep. Is he crazy? But see, in the mind of God, death is temporary. It's just the passage from this realm to the next realm. So he never says the word death. If you notice, when you translate any of the stories, he always says sleep versus death. Because there is only one death in his mind. That's the second death after the judgment for those who don't know him and chose not to be in relationship with him. So as far as he's concerned, when you die, it's temporary. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Alive, alive. We speak life. So the disciples said, well, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. Because they were still trying to get out of going to Judea, you see. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant that he was talking about him restfully sleeping. And so Jesus told them plainly, no, Lazarus has died. Another translation says, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Really? So what is Jesus doing when he stays away from your situation? When you're waving and saying, hey, remember me over here? You said you loved me. Can't you come right now? No, because I'm trying to kill you. I want you to die. Yeah? Paul said, I die daily. That's where he's getting us to. He is saying, I want you to die. I want you to get your hands off of this situation. I want you to let go. I want you to get to the place where your emotions don't rise or plummet about this particular situation because you're resting in the knowledge that I've got it, that all things are possible with me, and I will take care of it at the right time. When Jesus got there, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, this is very significant because the fourth day was the day past the possibility of a miracle. You see, they believed after 4 days, it was not possible. If anything was going to happen, it had to happen in the first 3 days. But on the fourth day, the body was reaching corruption. It was beginning to rot. It was past the point of no return. And he uses his perfect timing to arrive when all hope is gone. See, I told you he's a brother. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And so many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Now, you will always have professional mourners in your life. The moment you tell them something bad, they are ready to weep. Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. You don't need those kind of people. You need the faith people that I go, I will come and sit with you. I will weep with you. It said that when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary stayed in the house. I think Mary was mad. I think Martha said what Mary wanted to say. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, he was so cool. I love Jesus for that. He's so matter of fact about everything. You know, we're freaking out, our hair is on fire, and Jesus is like, peace be still. He's a brother, I'm telling you. He looks at Martha. She's accusing him. If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened, which is true. That's why he had to stay away, because in his presence, nothing can die. Ah. He looks at her and he says, Martha, your brother will rise again. Mary says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You know, sometimes Jesus is just trying to kill what you know. We formularize him. We decide if this happens, Jesus is going to come from the left and he's going to do this. And so the main time that that happens, Jesus just doesn't show up, because while you're looking for him at the left, he's coming in from the right. He never wants you to put him in a box. He's bigger than our conventional religious boxes, our assumptions about who he is and how he's going to work. He wants to destroy all of that so that we're always anticipating him doing something glorious in an unconventional way that will give us a greater testimony than anything we could ever expect. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amen? You can't put God in a box. Look at somebody and say, take him out that box. Amen. He says he'll rise again. She says, yeah, I know, at the last day. Because, you know, it's safe for us to believe for a future event. If you came up in the prayer line and I said to you today, do you believe that God can heal you of that? There's a part of you that wants to put in the back of your mind, well, it might not happen at the altar, but maybe it'll happen later. Because it's just too risky, isn't it, to hope and then not have your expectation met. And so we put it off to the future. But Jesus said, Martha, I am. And anytime he says, I am, you know he's using his name. I'm not I was. I'm not, I'm going to be. I am a very present God, right? I am present in time of need. I am the resurrection. I am the embodiment of life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That sounds pretty incredible, doesn't it? Mary said, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Christ who is coming into the world. That's not what he asked her. He said, do you believe this? She said, I believe that. You know, sometimes that is not this. We superimpose past experiences over our present circumstance, and we lump them all together so that we have the same expectation of the same thing happening over again. And God is saying, stop that. This is not that. Take me out the box. We set limits on our faith. We set limits on what we think we can believe him for. And when she said this, she just gave up. So she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. Well, he hadn't called for her. I don't see that. I think she thought to herself, well, maybe Mary can convince him since he's so tight with her. So when she heard this, she rose quickly and she went to him. Now, I thought it was very interesting because Jesus never went in to where they were. He stood outside of the village. I believe, at first I thought it was kind of rude, you know. Well, I mean, they're the ones that are grieving, Jesus. Why didn't you go to the house, you know? Why didn't you go and love on them? But he stood where he was and he forced them literally to come to him. He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I need you to come out of where you are so that you can see the forest for the trees. See, sometimes we're so deep in our situation that even if he visited us there, we would not be able to see an answer. He has to remove us. You ever notice that throughout scripture that when he was ready to work a miracle, it said he took his hand and he led him out of the village. He took him and he took him out of the village. He removed him from where he was presently in the atmosphere of a lack of faith, in the atmosphere of whatever was keeping him bound. He needed a new atmosphere to operate and do a new thing in that person's life. He had not yet come to the village, but was still in the same place where Martha met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise and go quickly, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she also fell at his feet saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Again, the truth. It's your fault. Don't we like to blame God for some stuff? All you had to do was just wave your hand and this would never have happened. It's your fault, God. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was greatly moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see. He over here." We can be so pitiful. He said, and then Jesus wept. And they said, "Oh, see how he loved him." Now, there have been several arguments about why Jesus wept. It's the shortest scripture in the whole Bible. You know, Jesus wept. One verse. And I got this whole conversation, you know, with my girlfriend. And she was like, "Well, you know, it was just showing that, you know, Jesus is so compassionate. And, you know, he hurts when we cry and when we die." And I said, "I don't think so." "Well, I think he was weeping over the death of his friend." I said, "Because he said he wasn't dead in the first place. He said he was just sleeping." I think he wept because he was thinking to himself, "Mary, you know me. How could you be in such a state of unbelief? We have talked. You have sat at my feet. You didn't work when Martha was working. Now, I expect unbelief from Martha because she's distracted and busy. But you, Mary? That's not the type of relationship we have." I think he was a little hurt that she didn't have more trust, that she didn't come saying, "Lord, now that you're here, let's go get him. See how he loved him," they said. And then there were a couple sarcastic people, because you know there always are. "Well, could he who opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he also have kept him from dying?" You always have a couple of those. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. And a stone, it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha said, "Lord, by this time he stinks." You know, sometimes your situation stinks. It's beyond repair. There's no fixing this. There's no coming back from this place. This stinks to high heaven. He's been dead for 4 days. There's an odor. And Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And it said, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, "Father," to me, this is one of the most profound prayers he ever prayed. He said, "Father, I thank you that you always hear me when I pray." That you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me. Wouldn't you love to get to the place where you're walking in such intimacy with him that you have a complete confidence that whenever you pray, he hears you? And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the man who had died came out. His hands and his feet were bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." You see, sometimes we're alive, but we're bound. God wants to break the bonds off of you. He wants to free your mind. He wants to free you to see what he sees, to hear what he hears, to say what he says, to do what he does. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward that it brings you, patient endurance," or passionate patience, "is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will." You see, whether he shows up when you want him to show up or not is not the question. It is, how much does your trust level compel you to keep being obedient in spite of what you don't know? In spite of what you can't see? Can you not grumble? Can you not complain? Can you continue to nurture an attitude of gratitude even when he doesn't show up when you want him to show up? Your faithfulness compels his faithfulness. It says patient endurance is what you need now so that you'll continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For just in a little while, he will come and not delay. What have you been longing for? Wondering if God will ever answer your prayer. What is your greatest fear? What is your view of God? Is he good or not? I always recommend that people have a faith trophy case, so that when they fall into hardship, they can look back on other times when they thought that life was impossible and they know that he showed up. Because then you can look back and say, "Well, you know, the doctor told me I only had a month to live and it's 6 years and I'm still standing here. So he can do this. I thought I'd never recover from that, but I remember he raised me up and I was even stronger. So he can do this. This is nothing for him. Because he did that." You know, it's very interesting that there's always a bigger picture involved in a miracle of something dying off in your life and Jesus showing up the last moment to gloriously display God's power and presence in your life. It's always bigger than the issue at hand. You know that actually the death of Lazarus was the catalyst for Jesus's crucifixion. Because the miracle was so huge that after that, Andre, the rumor went out that you got to come see this dead guy. I mean, he raised him after 4 days, not 3 days, 4 days. And so people came to see Lazarus and to see Jesus. So the Pharisees wanted to kill both of them because they wanted to just blot out the fact that his fame was spreading over this amazing miracle. And there was Lazarus with no fear. See, God wants you to overcome your fears. See, you can't kill a dead man twice. He said, "Shoot, I died already. I'm not scared to die now." When you get to the place where you have no fear, I think they used to have t-shirts with that on it. No fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Where are you today in your struggle with the impossibilities in your own life? The things that look dead. Perhaps it's your finances. Perhaps it's your body. Perhaps it's a relationship. Perhaps it's a job or a home situation. Whatever it is that appears dead to you, I dare you to wait on the Lord. I dare you to have an expectancy that at just the right time, he will show up and the end of the matter will be greater than its beginning. Have a confident trust in the one who is able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with him. He's just after the fruit in your life. I love it after Joseph went through all the things he went through and he named his sons. He named one Ephraim. He said, because God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. That's all God is after. So if you understand what he's doing, you're able to walk with open hands before him with the confident trust that it's not over till God says it's over, and it's never over with him. But in the meantime, in between time, you're going to walk in confidence. You're going to walk in trust and know that he's staying away because he wants that thing to die. He wants you to die to that thing. He wants you to let go completely, and then he'll speak his resurrection life. Now, sometimes, I have to warn you, he might not speak life into what you want him to speak life into. Amen? He might want that thing to die off because he wants to replace it with something greater. And sometimes we get stuck on that one thing. Oh, this is it. We have no idea of the greater. Again, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or think. If you can believe for the greater thing, watch him come through for you.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.